Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is from our second gospel reading, Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter. Well, it had been amazing. Jesus had been out at the cemetery, albeit not like our cemeteries, but it was a little bit different, but a cemetery nonetheless. His friend had died. Jesus had waited 4 days till he went to go see the friends, the family, and perhaps mourn himself. So he was there. And so now he's there at the cemetery, and he asked the people there, you need to move the stone away. And the people started freaking out. I'm like, Jesus, you don't want to do that. It's like, come on. He's been in there 4 days. They were worried about it being 4 days. Why? Because the smell had started to get bad. So they didn't want that coming out. It's like, Jesus, you don't want to do that. He didn't care. He told them, move the stone. So they did it. Then he prays to his Father in heaven that he would hear his prayer and answer his prayer. And then he called forth, Lazarus, come out. And that he did. Amazed all the people. Amazed everyone. Here he is, Jesus, the one who calls the people from the dead to the living. Wow. That is what happened the day before what we call Palm Sunday. So now Jesus is coming into town. He tells everybody, he tells the disciples there, this is the situation you're going to find. Go in there. They're going to see this colt there. Nobody's ever ridden on it. Just take it. And if anybody asks you, tell them the Lord has need of it. So they go in there. Find it just like Jesus said. Say the very same words that Jesus spoke. They bring out the colt. Already, the disciples are being reaffirmed yet again with one more example about who Jesus is. He told them what was going to be the situation. It was exactly like he said it. And so now the people then see that Jesus is coming into town. They're excited. The people in the town, Jerusalem, they'd already heard. When somebody comes back from the dead, that news travels fast. Internet or no. CNN or no, word got around fast. So there they are, they're all excited. And because somebody's coming in this such a fashion, and the prophecy there about him coming in on a colt, that's significant too. Because normally a king would come in on a war horse, right? But not Jesus, he comes in on a colt of a donkey. That means he's a king of peace. So the people are excited. He's the one. So they get their palm branches there, and they're laying their cloaks down there before him, and he rides over those cloaks, and they're hollering out, Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David! Hosanna meaning, save us. The people are excited. The people are there. Amazing. Bringing his friend Lazarus back from the dead. What an exciting day to be. But was this Jesus' mission? Was his mission accomplished yet? And what was his mission? Well, hear how Jesus shared that with them this very day. There he is. He's hanging out with his disciples. Disciples there came up to him. It's like, hey, these Greek guys came up. They're talking to Philip and Andrew. They're from up there in Bethsaida. It's a Greek area. So they're thinking, going to the Greek disciples, that'd be good to have Jesus come in there. And so they're expecting Jesus to say yes or no. Are we going to meet him or not? But Jesus replies in a most unusual way. He says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? but for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. Jesus said, the hour has come. Jesus is well aware of what's going to take place in a few days. He knew he was going to the cross, and the prospects he did not look forward to. Certainly not knowing what was going to happen, being nailed to a cross. You see, Jesus knew, though, that all of this would happen. But it would happen for our benefit. And how can we say such a thing? For our benefit. Listen to the words, and again, it's kind of an unusual phrase, but listen to what he says. I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Well, he's talking about his death and comparing it to a grain of wheat. You see, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, germinates, well, then what happens? Well, once it germinates, then a sprout there starts to come up. The stalk of the wheat comes up. But if it dies, again, more growth starts to happen. And so what happens at the top when that wheat grows? Well, it could have up to 100 kernels at the top of that wheat shaft. One seed producing up to 100 more. So what he's saying here is that if Jesus does not die, he remains the one solitary person who ever lived on this earth who was perfect. And that's all that would happen. But if he dies, then something wonderful can happen. Fruit will be born. And what is that fruit? You who believe in Jesus are the fruits of his death. But you see, not all believe. And Jesus knows that. He starts talking about those who love this life will lose it. What he's talking about there are about all the things that can happen to a person. Meaning, enjoying life on this earth. Thinking about your job. Thinking about how you're wanting to earn as much money as possible. So what can you do with that money? So that you can go out there and buy things. That you got to have the latest iPhone. Because the iPhone 8 isn't as good as the iPhone 10. And even though it's just a year old, you got to go get it anyway. And if it's not that, it's laptops or clothes or the latest car. You know, you got to get that new car that's going to drive for itself, right? That's good in New York. Yeah, you're going to want to sit there, get behind the wheel, and let go of that wheel, let it drive for yourself. Yeah, I want that to happen here. Already happens as it is. But you see, those are the kinds of things there that we start focusing on that part of our life. And if it's not that, then it's the cares of this world and worries about things like that that happen to us. But they're all distractions, things that we focus on, so much so that we keep our eye off the Lord. And perhaps when those events happen in our lives that we need to pray about, we don't even think about praying to the Lord because we've been so focused on ourselves that we don't think about the one who might be able to answer that prayer. That puts our eternal life in jeopardy. Why? Because it blocks the need for us to have a Savior. And that brings us back to the other part that Jesus spoke about. If we hate this world, we save ourselves for eternal life. Now that in and of itself sounds hard. Really? We gotta hate this world? You see, what he's really saying there is that we need to keep our focus on the Father there in heaven. That if we keep our focus on the Father in heaven and love him above all else, then in turn, if we love him that much, it appears that we're hating the world. But that's not really true, is it? Because you see, if we are loving the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and we love our neighbor as ourselves, then the love of God is truly what is being shared with the world. That's what Jesus is talking about. And that is what he wants. Because if we're doing that, we're recognizing that all the things that we do have, the job that we have, the family that we have, the things, the iPhones, whatever, we recognize then that those are all blessings that the Lord God has given to us. And in turn, He expects us then, if we're loving Him the way we should, we naturally then start to share what we have with others. It's those blessings. It's those blessings that as we start to serve one another, then we are bearing the fruits that Jesus expected us to do. But we all need to remember, though, that it was only because that Jesus came to this hour. Nothing would have happened unless Jesus came to this hour and knew what was going to take place. You see, I can't imagine knowing when the end of my days will come. Jesus knew that. He knew how His life was going to end. He knew He was going to be humiliated before the people. He knew that He was going to suffer, be whipped, have a crown of thorns shoved on His hand, be beaten, and then nailed to a cross. He knew all of that. But yet, He still went through with it. Why? For our benefit. For He knew that His death on the cross meant forgiveness of sins for us. But He also knew 3 days later He was going to rise from that grave alive, giving us hope, hope of everlasting life. You see, the Father glorified His name and will glorify it again with His rising from the tomb. You see, that glory has been passed on to us. That gift of faith has been passed on to us. And so every time a person comes to faith, that means that that fruit, that seed that died, Jesus who died, who rose, bears fruit yet again with another soul saved who gets to go to heaven. You see, that gift of faith has been given to you and me. Those blessings of God have been given to you and me, not for us to keep and hold in, but rather for us to share. For you see, in that sharing, Jesus is working through you. So the fruits of His death grow and grow and grow. What a blessing it is to be included in His family for life everlasting. Go in His peace. Go and share that peace with others through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God surpasses all human understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.